Hello, this is Faye Emerson with a program in the series Crossroads. In a very crowded section of a large city where the traffic sounds almost never die, lives the family that is the subject of today's story. We'll call them the Cooper family. There are four children. Let Ellen Cooper, the mother, tell you about them.
November the 21st, 1947, I had my first child, Rosemary. And then 1948, August 21st, I had my second child, Ashton Jr. Robert Daniel is four. And the baby was born May the 7th. They were good children. I never had no trouble with them.
Until quite recently, the Cooper's life was like that of many other families. The father worked in a factory on various different shifts.
It was from 4 to 12 at night, from 12 to 8, and from 8 until 4.
Sometimes one shift, sometimes another.
Well, I didn't mind. Mom. And some afternoon was nice. The children, I used to walk down and meet him, coming home from work. And we'd walk home together. He used to ride the kids on his back. We used to go to Prospect Park with them. Not very often, just once in a while. He was a very good husband. I never had no trouble with him at all, at all.
A few months ago, things changed for the Cooper family. What happened could happen to any family. And that's why we're telling this story. It all started in March, before the fourth child was born. It was a Monday evening.
Well, that Monday, he went to work, as he usually. And the only thing he said when he left, he said, "I'll see you later," like he always do. And so around about 7 o'clock, he came home. And we was looking at the television, my mother and me and the three kids. And he came in, he took a bath, and he didn't say that the television wasn't working too good. And the children said, "Daddy said, fix the television." So he said, "I don't feel like it." And he went in the room and laid down. So he didn't say anything to no one. So the next morning, the oldest boy, Ashton Jr., went in the room and said to him, said, "Daddy, you gonna take me to school?" So he said, "No, I don't feel like taking to school." So I took the kids to school. So when I came back, it must have been about, no, that night, I was fixing supper, getting ready to fix supper. And then he called me in there, so he said he wanted to go to the, no, told me to call the doctor. And then he said, no, he wanted to go to the hospital. So I prepared him to go to the hospital, and then I called the ambulance for him. And I took him. Him and I, another man and I took him. And the next morning, that was Wednesday, I took the children to school and I came back. And I got a call from the hospital and told me to rush right up there. And my mother told me when I came in, she didn't say exactly what they told her.
Ellen went to the hospital. She learned that her husband had a very high fever but was getting every possible care.
Wednesday night, I was giving the kids their supper, and another call came in from the hospital. And I didn't speak to him. My mother did, and they told her that my husband's blood pressure was going down. Well, I had been there Wednesday morning, and the doctor told me not to come back because I was expecting my fourth child. So I didn't go. My brother-in-law and my sister went up there.
Telling this story, Ellen's self-control began to desert her. She sat quiet for a while before she went on.
And Wednesday night, we were sitting there waiting, and my sister left to go back up there again. And when she came back, she came upstairs and she said that my husband had passed away. And the doctor said it was virus and walking pneumonia.
Until that week, he'd almost never been sick. At least not since she could remember. Until that week, life had gone very evenly for the Coopers. He and Ellen had known each other since grammar school. During high school days, they'd sometimes gone to a movie together. Later, he'd gone into the army, and she'd taken a job with a clothing manufacturer.
Well, I was operating on a machine in a factory. I sewed on pants, with seams on the pants. It wasn't hard.
Then she'd gotten a letter from him, from overseas.
Well, he went to the Army in 45. And when he was in the Army, he wrote to me and asked me would I like to marry him. And my mother was away then. So I wrote to my mother and I asked her. So she said, all right. So when he came home at the Army, we got married.
They had a small church wedding.
You know, just a few people. Because he didn't have a good job then, and we couldn't afford a very large wedding. But it was nice.
There was no honeymoon.
Well, we couldn't afford to go on no trips or anything like that. We never went away on no trip.
But it was a successful marriage.
It was a very happy one. He was a very good husband. He was very quiet. He didn't run around. Came home from work, stayed home. Now, unless we went out with the kids. Oh, we had big laughs all the time.
But now, very suddenly, after 9 years of marriage, he was dead. Behind him, he left 3 children and a 4th about to be born. The family went together to the cemetery, and he was laid to rest. The following day, the minister came to have a talk with Ellen. They talked about a lot of things, and he gave her some very practical advice.
He told me where to go. He wrote it down on a paper. He asked me, did I have my husband's social security card? So I told him yes. And he told me to take his social security card and his discharge papers and go up to the social security place. So I took his card and his discharge paper and I went up there. And I asked them information at the desk and they gave me a number and told me to sit down, wait till they call my name. And then I went, Miss Stewart, I went over to her and then she asked me some questions. And she took out an application and asked me the question and filled it out.
Until the payment started, there was the problem of groceries and other expenses. But the Coopers discovered they had many friends.
Well, across the street there's a grocery store there. I went over there and they let me have some grocery until I got my check. And I went up to the rent office, and they told me they would wait until I got my check from the Social Security people. They all know that my husband had passed away, and I didn't have no other help or anything. And so they said they would help me out until I get some help from them.
Finally, the help began to come. Social Security payments. First, a lump sum payment to help with funeral and other expenses. And then presently, regular monthly payments.
Yes, once a month, the 5th of every month, but they mail it. I get 150 for the children and 50 for myself. They told me they gave me some papers, and it was telling me that, you know, how much they allow each person, you know. So when I pay my bills and rent and everything, then I just have to make out, you know, like that.
The new baby has meanwhile been born, and once more the life of the Coopers goes forward at an even pace.
I get up around 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when I get up with the baby, the infant baby. And that's when my work starts. The first thing I do when I get up, and the baby wants his bottle. Give him his bottle, and he'd probably go back to sleep then. I fix the baby's formula, and then wash the diapers. And after that, I start getting breakfast ready for the other children. And then from breakfast, I go ahead and start cleaning the house. Around 12 or 1 o'clock, I give the children their lunch. Then they're outside playing. And I go ahead with the other work. About 4:30, I start getting my supper ready.
Then the older children come in to watch television or to help look after the baby. Sometimes they sing to him, a modern lullaby.
Washington, the Washington, the Davy
Crockett,
Dean of the Bounds.
Sometimes, every now and then, the children speak of their father.
Well, once in a while, the baby, Robert Daniel does. Like sometimes he goes in my mother's room, he looks out the window and he says, "I see my daddy sitting on a bench," or something like that. And Rosemary and Ashton Jr., once in a while they speak of him. Like if they want to go someplace, something like that, they say, "My daddy took me such and such a place."
What the father meant in their lives, nothing can replace. But the financial support he gave them, this can continue to some extent. The father himself helped to make this possible, because the monthly payments that come to the Coopers from the Social Security Administration are not charity, not at all. They're a special kind of insurance, paid for, in part, by deductions from his wages, in part, by his employer's matching contributions. 9 out of 10 working Americans and their families now have protection under this same system. Protection which will be waiting for them when they reach certain great crossroads of their lives. Now here to tell you what every American should know about his rights and his obligations under Social Security is the Commissioner of Social Security, Mr. Charles I. Shotland.
If your work is covered by Social Security, here are some key points to remember. First, take care of your Social Security card and use it properly. When you apply for a new job, show your card to your employer and be sure he copies your number correctly so that his reports of your earnings can be credited to your Social Security account. If you're self-employed, you make your own annual Social Security report, and your Social Security number is an important item on that report. Copy it directly from your card. And whether you work for yourself or for someone else, you have the same kind of old age and survivor's insurance protection. So tell your family about it. Tell them that in the case of your death, they should inquire about survivor's insurance benefits at the nearest Social Security office. For more information about your old age and survivor's insurance, ask your Social Security office for a free copy of the booklet, Your Social Security. There is no charge.
This is Faye Emerson inviting you to listen again to Crossroads, stories from the files of the Social Security Administration. Crossroads is produced for the United States Department of Health, Education, and Welfare by the Center for Mass Communication at Columbia University. Ellen's story was edited by Eric Barno. Thank you.